It's a day-by-day thing. It's not a Sunday morning spot. It's a day-to-day walk of change, transformation, and renewing, and with the mind discovering who we are in Christ. And you got to know who you are in order to live who you are. The reason we don't live who we are is because we don't know who we are. And you can't know who you are unless you know the one who created you. It's through the knowledge of Him that we come to know who we are, so that we can live who we are and no longer live dysfunctionally. We're discovering what's really normal, and what's really normal in the kingdom is going to be abnormal in the world. Amen. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And when you're born of His Spirit, you enter into God's kingdom, His eternal kingdom. And so your kingdom is also no longer of this world. And so you're never going to fit into the mold of the world. Don't even try. You're wasting your time. And the devil is going to just rob from you, steal you, and mess you up. So you need to discover who you are in Christ, the true reality. And live out of that reality, amen, out of life. And learning to say yes to God and no to me. And I want to so fill myself with the Lord and His thoughts, His words, that His thoughts become my thoughts. Amen? My thoughts become His thoughts. In other words, that we're so together that I know what He's thinking, what He's feeling, what He has to say about it. And how many have discovered that your way just doesn't really work? I mean, people can be successful in this world, you know, and they can get to the top, but they're so miserable, you know, because they've been pursuing emptiness, wind and sand, and vain pursuits of what the world says is something that you want. And but what God offers is eternal and superior. And it cannot be compared to the momentary, temporal life that we live in right now. So we are actually living for eternity because we are eternal beings in Christ. We are new creations, part of a different kingdom. We are citizens of heaven now. So we live out of that reality. And we have to know the mind and the heart of our Father. Thank God He gave us this book, amen, the Word, and His Spirit to teach us. The Spirit and the Word working together to reveal to us who we really are. Yeah. It's good to see everybody here, and a couple faces I haven't seen for a while, and we love you guys, and we pray for everybody that we can think of as the Lord quickens us. It's good to be here. There's a few that are not here today. Pray for them. But we need each other, and we need to take care of each other. We are a family. And a good family takes care of itself, right? You look out for one another. You don't always necessarily get along, but you still love each other. And you learn how to forgive and go on, right? That should have been an amen right there, but yeah. I'll say amen if you don't, so yeah. Amen. But when we're full of Jesus and when we're walking close with the Lord, it's easier to love, isn't it? And it's also a place of safety where you're armored up, you're clothed in Him, and the darts of the enemy can't get through. But when you let yourself go, you know, ever heard anybody say, "Boy, they really let themselves go," right? Well, spiritually, that can happen, you know. We can let ourselves go. And it has some pretty serious consequences because we're in a war. And you have to be vigilant. You have to be in armor. Amen? And you have to be ready. Because the enemy hits you when you don't expect it. He's into sneak attacks. Has anybody discovered that, right? Yeah. He's also into diversions and distractions. Hey, look at this, look at this, look at this. Get your eyes off Jesus. You know? See, he wants to steal, doesn't he? He wants to rob us of our eternal inheritance and that which God as freely made available to us if we will come by way of Jesus and his way. I got to be done with myself. I said this many times before, but folks, we got to be done with ourselves to be a follower of Jesus. You're really not ready for Jesus until you're through with sin. I didn't say that you're perfect. I said that you're through and you've made up your mind. You've repented. When you're repented in your heart, you're ready for Jesus now. Because you cannot come to him except through repentance first. It's awful quiet in here. Am I speaking the truth? Amen. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the message of John the Baptist. That's the message of Jesus. And that's the message of his church. Why? Because we are to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord to make his path straight, a highway for our God. And you know where that highway is? It's in your heart. You need to be ready in your heart. You need to be right in your heart with God because he's coming. And he's coming for those who are right with him in right standing, righteousness. And that righteousness is provided by the Lord himself. So you have to come to him in repentance and faith and receive his righteousness. Because your righteousness, my goodness, your goodness is not good enough. It's never going to be good enough. So we need his righteousness. Amen? That's why we worship. That's why we seek him. We want to be clothed upon by him. I don't want the world to see me anymore. I want them to see Jesus. When I was in the world, I wanted the world to see me. Now I want people to see Jesus. Because I can't save. I can't change anybody. I'm just a paper boy. Delivering the goods. Delivering the news. I'm telling you the way. How you can be saved. And we have the same responsibility, every one of us who know the truth. Wow, praise God. Well, what I'm going to say today, what I think I'm going to say, you never know where it's going to go. I just pray and trust the Lord and he helps. Sometimes when we hear a message, and it is a message given by the Holy Spirit through an individual, we can get irritated when we hear it. Have you ever been irritated by the truth? But it's a good irritation because it's God getting our attention because he wants to bring healing in our lives. You understand? That's what God really wants to do. He wants to heal. He wants to restore. He's not a mean God. He's a good God. But he gave us truth. He gave us his word to direct our steps, our lives, so that we can be in position to receive his blessing and become a blessing to others. Not just so we can get goosebumps, amen, but we can be a blessing to people, amen? That's why we need his spirit. And we need to listen to his word. Sometimes it's going to hurt when we hear it. Stings sometimes to hear the truth. But it's one of those things where it hurts so good, you know? And there's been times when I've sat and I just wanted to crawl underneath the chair, you know, and I was listening to a message. But I thank God that he speaks to me. And that he loves me enough to tell me the truth. So some of you are saying, well, we're in for it today. No. People who love you tell you the truth. And I have been guilty of not loving people enough to tell them the truth. There's been times when I've compromised. And in a sense, I've been a hypocrite because in my heart, I knew what was true and I didn't say anything when I was supposed to. There's times when you don't say things, but when the Spirit of God is telling you to speak, then we need to speak. And sometimes when you love people enough to tell them the truth, it's going to have a negative repercussion. There's going to be some drama. And it's amazing how I can speak one message and this person gets this out of that, and that person gets that out of that. And this person felt like I was singling them out, and I had no clue what was going on in their life. So maybe they ought to pay attention. Say, maybe the Holy Spirit's actually trying to speak to you to help you get out of the mess you're in, to get into compliance with the Word of God, the will of God for you, so that you can be in a position for the blessing of God, so you can be a blessing. Amen? And the title of this morning's message is Don't Believe Your Report. Don't believe your report. Believe God's. You know, it is a common mistake for mankind to believe that when we're born good. Man is intrinsically good in that my heart is something that is trustworthy and reliable. And if I thought it, or if I felt it, it must be good. And has anybody beside myself ever have your heart mess you up? Your own heart? You remember Jiminy Cricket, right? He was an anointed preacher. He said, always let your conscience be your guide. Now, God does give conscience, doesn't he? Always let your conscience be your guide. But what happens is in life, as we begin to grow up, that conscience can become seared. It becomes ineffective. The things that once bothered us no longer do. And so you cannot go solely on your conscience, because your conscience will betray you too. But God put it in there for a reason, didn't he? We are born with a knowledge of good and evil. I've had people argue with me and say, no, these are just things that people learn. No, you're born a monster. Sorry, I hope I didn't offend you. But seriously, in Adam, we became like the one that we submitted to. Adam and Eve became like Lucifer. Proud, arrogant, self-sufficient, wanting to be their own God. And now they have the knowledge of good and, unfortunately, evil. And so we start to think that, well, then I just need to make right choices. And yes, you do need to make right choices. Amen? But it's not just a matter of making right choices of doing the good and not doing the bad. It's more than that. Because you can do a lot of good and refuse to do the bad and still be lost for eternity. Because by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified, the Bible says in Romans. So it's not a matter of good and bad, good and evil. Doing enough good, if I do enough good, I go to heaven. If I do enough bad, I go to hell. It's a matter of life and death. Are you in life or are you still in death? Do you see, a person can live in death and yet do a lot of good things. I was born in death and I did a lot of good things. I was not, what, in my own opinion, a bad person. I trusted my own heart that my heart was good. You know, you hear people say, well, they got a good heart. They did this, but they still have a good heart. Well, the only good heart that we have is the new heart that God gives. The original heart is no good. God has to remove that and give you a new heart. That's what it means to be born again. You receive a new heart, and then he puts his spirit within us. And we become born of God, a new creation. Brand new creation, not a patch job. People are patching up the old heart, trying to make it, you know, go through counseling and whatever else, to self-help books to try to improve on the old. But God says, no, you got to scrap the old, you got to be brand new. And you got to live out of that new creation. And daily you have to deny the old so you can live in the new. You have to deny death so you can walk in life. So if I do good, my heart says what? I'm good. But as soon as I do bad, your heart says bad. So today I'm doing good right now, and I feel like I'm pretty good because I'm doing good right now. But as soon as you blow it, your heart says bad. I can't go to church now. They'll all see me. They'll all know what I did. You see, when we get into judgments against one another, we're usually judging from an imperfect heart and from a really not accurately. God is the ultimate judge. God is the correct judge. He knows how to judge righteously. Amen? And we have to be careful about judging each other, because often we judge by appearances. I even hear people, you know, supposedly give words of knowledge just because they see somebody come and they're all, you know, bummed out. They walk into church, they're down and out. The Lord has revealed to me that you're depressed today. I mean, it's like the psychic connection, you know. Those people know how to read people too. Just little telltale signs such as, you know, body language, the way people can, you know, these people learn how to manipulate and control people. And they can read people. You know, there's a certain amount of understanding we can get just by looking at somebody and say, well, they've had a pretty rough life. I can tell by looking at them, you know. But God is a righteous judge. He judges correctly. And so we need to understand, first of all, folks, that our hearts naturally are very wicked, are very corrupt. Even though we may be good people and make right choices because we do have the knowledge of good and evil, at the very core of who we are, when we are born naturally in Adam, we are actually very wicked. And if we allow ourselves to go there, we can become increasingly more wicked by simply tapping into the evil side. How could people become Stalins and Hitlers? Because they had tapped into the evil side. And they went deeper and deeper into evil. Are you hearing me? And the potential for evil is in every one of us who are born naturally. So the heart is really not good in Adam. The only way you're going to become good is to become a new creation in Christ Jesus, to receive the new heart and His Spirit. Are you hearing me? So that's why people need to understand that your goodness will never be good enough, because you are in a corrupt state naturally. And you must be born of God. That's why Jesus came, to pay the price for our sins, to redeem us, and also to give us a new beginning, a new life in Him. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves. Have you ever noticed, if you ever watched those shows where they take you into the deep jungles and people that have had very little contact with the outside world, and they, even though they're in that isolated situation, they still have standards. Everybody has standards. We allow or disallow based upon our own opinion of what's right and wrong. And so a lot of these tribes, they make decisions, and they have cultures and that are based upon the opinions of someone, possibly a chief, who thought, we're going to do it this way. You know, we're going to put one of those funky rings in our lower lip, you know, and she's going to be a hot babe now, you know. I mean, this crazy stuff that the devil gets people to believe, you know, or how they maim themselves, and then they call that good. Why is that? Because in man's heart, he is corrupt, and his vision is obscured. He cannot see clearly. He cannot judge or discern accurately in and of himself. However, we think we can. We like to think that we have good hearts and that we're good people. And this is the thing, and this is why people get irritated when they hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ, is because Jesus came to expose the true intents of the heart. He began to show them what was really in their hearts, where they thought they were doing pretty good, and they had everybody fooled, but Jesus shows up, and He speaks the word, and all of a sudden that garbage starts boiling up to the surface, and they got pretty hateful. Because, wow. I thought I was so good, and you're showing me that I'm not. Well, you have to understand something, that unless we come to the knowledge of the truth and that we are not good in and of ourselves, we cannot even be saved. We've got false doctrines today, and people are handing out salvation like it's some kind of piece of candy. Salvation only comes through the blood of Jesus and through a repentant heart that has been brought to the place of brokenness and an understanding that I am in trouble with God. I have sinned against God, and I have no hope except to turn to Him through Jesus. Amen. And to forsake my way, to repent. I'm ready now to follow Jesus. Do you see that? It's not until we come to the end of ourselves. It says in verse 15, they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. In other words, people naturally live by their own opinion, and what they feel in their own heart is right and wrong. Yet, once again, we need to understand the problem is that our judgments, folks, are not good. God's judgments are always right. And we need to forsake my own judgments and allow God to be the judge. And let God decide if I stand or I fall. God, what do you say? In other words, once again, don't believe your own report. Because your own report will deceive you. People will miss heaven and go to hell because they believe their report and they didn't listen to God's report. And the enemy, the devil, wants you to trust in your own heart and in your own way. In other words, be your own God. That was the lie from the very beginning. You shall be like God, knowing good and evil. And now that we have this knowledge of good and evil, he then tries to put us in a place where we're just a matter of making right choices or wrong choices. And thinking if I do enough right, then I'll be good enough for God, I'll be justified, I'll go to heaven. If I do enough wrong, well, the scale went too far on the other side, now I'm going to hell. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you must be a new creation. You must be born again. You cannot patch up the old. You must become new in him. And only God can do that. And he will do that to those who come to the end of themselves and say, Lord, I repent. I am done with my ways. I am going to follow you, Jesus. And when God sees in your heart that you mean business, that's when you're saved. You see, I tried patching myself up before I was saved. I got invited to some guys that I was with got saved, and they started to invite me to Bible studies and things like that. And I kind of resisted. And one time I just said, okay, I'll go to Bible study with you. And so we took my car and got in a collision on the way. And I said, well, I ain't going to no more Bible studies if that's what's going to happen. See how the devil works. And so I was up and down like a roller coaster, trying to patch my life up and improve my life and get some self-help books, whatever. You know, trying to do better. And I didn't realize that you can't improve on the old. You got to scrap the old and become new. You got to be born again. Good and bad are extreme opposites. There's no middle ground between good and bad. Did you know that? It's either you're real good or you're real bad. When you do good, I'm good. When I do bad, what? I'm bad. In Psalms 53 and verse 2, it says this. Psalms 53 verse 2. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them, how many? Has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Psalms 51 and verse 5. The psalmist said, behold, I was brought forth, what? In iniquity. And in sin, my mother conceived me. The New Living Translation puts it this way. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. See, this is the reality of the human condition. And this is what people need to understand. This is what you and I need to understand. Is that we are not good, folks, apart from Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, we know this very well. But this really is the foundation of this message today. It says the heart is deceitful. That word deceitful means fraudulent, crooked, polluted. Listen, above all things. Wow, that's pretty strong language. And desperately wicked. That word desperately means frail, feeble, incurable, or sick. Incurably sick. The heart of man is crooked, polluted, incurably sick. And then the question is posed, who can know their own heart? Am I capable? Listen, am I capable of knowing my own heart? The answer is what? No. So the Lord says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And the Amplified in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly perverse and corrupt and severely mortally sick. Who can know it? That means who can perceive, understand, or be acquainted with his own heart and mind? The answer is no one. Don't believe your report. You see, we are often, without realizing it, self-righteous. Because when I'm doing good, I'm righteous. When I make a mistake, I'm no longer righteous. It's not a matter of good and evil. It's a matter of life and death. Am I in life or am I in death? Am I living and walking in life in Christ or am I in Adam? If you're a new creation, you're still dragging around that old corpse, aren't you? That old man, Adam. And you have to, every day, you have to say no to Adam and yes to Christ. You have to say no to your way and yes to God's way. As you say yes to God, you live. As you say no to God, you die inside. Do you want to have vibrancy of life? You want to have fullness of life? You want to have superior life? Start listening to his voice and start saying, yes, if God said it, I believe it. That settles it. This is the way we're going to do it because his ways are not my ways. Because there's wickedness in our hearts that we're just not aware of. We all think we're doing good, but there's stuff there that, well, the only way you're going to know it is the Holy Spirit will turn light on and reveal it to you. I don't know if any of you have watched the news recently. I don't spend too much time listening to that. But apparently there's some new deal with Iran. And they're going to allow Iran to do its own nuclear inspections. Now, I don't want to get off into politics, but I want to use this as an example. Do you think that they're going to be fair and accurate in their reporting of these nuclear inspections? The answer is no. Likewise, it's like you and I trying to do our own inspection. You can't do an accurate inspection of yourself. When it talks about examining yourself, it's an examining yourself in light of the Word and the Spirit of God. He will give you an accurate assessment. And so, you know, it's crazy, but sometimes we're like that. We're trying to be, you know, our own judge. And as long as I'm doing good, the judgment is right on. Heaven's your home. And as soon as you blow it, you judge yourself and you condemn yourself and you say, yep, you need to go to hell for what you just did. If you were to die right now, have you ever felt that way? We've all condemned ourselves, haven't we? But see, this is the awesome thing, and we're going to get to this. But God is bigger than our hearts and knows all things. So don't be a judge of yourself. Don't believe your own report, but believe the report that God gives. If you knew that there was a rattlesnake in the grass, if you were smart, you wouldn't walk there, right? You would take a detour. Likewise, sometimes we don't realize what's there. And we walk into the mess that we basically have brought upon ourselves. Because we heard what God said, but then we thought, but that doesn't make sense to me. I've got a better idea, God. Let's do it this way. Have you ever done that? We've all gone our own way. We've all gone astray. We've all sinned and fallen short. We've all messed up. We've all listened to our voice and ignored God's voice. And every time we do that, there are consequences. And whatever a man is sowing, so shall he also reap. You may not see it overnight, and that's why man's heart is fully set in him to do wickedly, you know, because the sentence against an evil deed isn't executed immediately. There's a time lapse there. And so people think, well, nothing happened. I got away with it. No big deal. It's like the guy that gets stoned for the first time, you know, gets high for the first time. Well, that was all right. No big deal. I can handle that. Go back the second time, third time. Well, sometimes, you know, it don't even take that much. And there are consequences. And what you used to have control of now controls you. Because it was your path. It wasn't God's path for you. There was a snake in the grass. You didn't know he was there. Or you thought you were able to outsmart the snake. We are often self-deceived and self-destructive. You know, folks, let's face it. Many times we've had good intentions. We meant well. But nonetheless, we fall short. Just because someone has good intentions does not mean that it's the right decision. Would you agree with that? We've all tried to help people that we probably shouldn't have because we had good intentions. And we ended up strengthening them in a situation whereas they never learned how to overcome that situation because we, with good intention, intervened when we shouldn't have. Sometimes you're going to have tough love and you just need to tell people, sorry, can't help you. But I do know somebody who can. Because what happens is people will become dependent on us and not on Christ. There are times when God will say, take care of this problem. Amen? Because this person is worthy of help. There's other times when a person needs to learn a lesson. And you can't always rebuke your way out of it, pray your way out of it. Sometimes you're just going to have to ride out the storm. Amen? But during the storm, you're going to get stronger. Are you hearing me? You're going to grow in character. God allows these things to develop us, to mature us, and to prepare us for eternity. The Lord said in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Listen to what the Apostle Paul had to say about judging. And this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. He says, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, what did he say? I do not even judge myself. Doesn't the Bible say to examine ourselves? Yes. But who is the judge? For I know, listen, of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, guys, when I take a look at myself, I'm doing pretty good. I can't see anything wrong with the way I'm living. Have you ever been in a place where you thought you were doing good when you really weren't? Now, he's not saying that he wasn't doing good. He was just making a point here that he's not a good judge of himself. He's not to believe his own report about himself, but he gets that report from God. He says, listen, he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Paul chose not to stand and fall by his own judgment, but he left that up to the Lord. Pretty wise, right? Folks, we can be self-deceived. I don't want to be deceived. You don't want to be deceived. So leave the judgment up to God. Let him decide. Amen? It's very good to say, God, how is it between you and I? You know, I can impress people. I can make people think I'm all that. But God, how is it really? How am I really doing? Oh, beware. But that's good. That's a good thing. You want that. You want to be authentic. You want to be in the truth. You want to be in reality. Amen. You want to know for real. Is this okay, Lord? Am I doing the right thing? Am I living the right way? Am I making the right decisions according to your will for my life? And God is faithful. And he wants to discipline and he wants to teach us his ways. And he wants to raise us up, sons and daughters, representing him accurately in this world. Representing him in a way that is honoring to him. How many get embarrassed when your kids mess up? Your kids can embarrass you, right? And so, because your kids are representing you in a sense. And sometimes people will judge the parent by the kid. It doesn't always mean it's the parent's fault, but you get judged sometimes because they see little Johnny over here messing up. Well, the parents must not, but you're doing the right thing at home. You know, it could be true, but maybe not. But the actions of the child reflect on the parent. So it is, we are the children of God, children of light. We are to walk in the light. We are to live such good lives and such good examples before the world that they will not be able to point the finger at us and accuse us of anything inappropriate. Are you hearing me? Why? Because we are here to honor our Father. We honor him by the way that we live our lives, and we live our lives not by my own opinion of myself, but based upon the truth of what is real. What does God have to say about it? Paul said here, wait until the Lord comes. When he comes, he's going to expose everything. He said, all the hidden things of your heart, all the secrets of men, all we can put on the best face and we can have the greatest act. You know, we can speak fluent Christianese. But when Jesus comes, all that's hidden will be brought to light. Come on. How many would agree with me it's a good idea to get it right now? And to make sure there are no secrets between, amen, not that we could hide anything anyways, but we think we can. We can hide from man, but we cannot hide from God. So we need to come into the light, as John 3 says. Because Jesus said this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light, and they don't come into the light lest their deeds be exposed. But he who is of the truth of the light, amen, will come into the light, that it may be clearly seen that what he has been done in God. In other words, we are willing to come to God and be an open book and let God turn the light on, let God, amen, cleanse us. Purify us. Having an honest heart, God will forgive. God will restore. God will heal. And God will make you a blessing in this world because you have a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want a pure heart. How about you? That's why we open up like flowers before God and we say, oh God, shed your light abroad in my heart. Shed your love abroad in me. Amen. If there's any wicked way in me, cleanse me from it. Amen. Lead me in the way everlasting. Hallelujah. I want to be holy like you, Jesus. Make me holy. I can't make myself holy, but you make me holy. Hallelujah. He gives us holiness. When we're born naturally, we're not capable of knowing God's thoughts. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now look at Isaiah 55 and verse 7. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Forsake what? My way and my thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, come to God, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. But you know what, folks? It doesn't end there. Because if you look at this in 1 Corinthians 2:14, when we are born of God, born of the Spirit, something amazing takes place. Hear this. The natural man, verse 14, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. But look at verse 15. But he who is spiritual, this is talking about the redeemed, those who are born of God, judges all things, listen, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Or in another translation it says, is himself to be judged by no one. Amen? It doesn't matter what people think about me. People make obscured, you know, judgments of me about me all the time. People misunderstand me. They misunderstand what I say. You know, they make wrong judgments. I don't hold it against them. That's just man. That's the way we are. But God is the righteous judge. And so we're not going to be judged by man. In that day, we're going to stand before Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? And he will, in righteousness, judge the world. And there is coming a day when every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. So I've got to turn away from my thoughts and my ways and being my own judge, because I'm a poor judge of myself. As a matter of fact, I often can give myself grace where it's not deserved. Are you hearing me? Or where it's not authentic grace. The grace that we need is God's grace, not the grace we give ourselves. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm a pretty good person. I got a good heart. That will not save you. You need to be born again. Oh, help me, Jesus. We cannot justify ourselves, in other words. God alone is our justifier. And it was God's plan to send his Son into the world to die for us sinners. Do you know why God gets angry? Because he's mean. You want to know why God gets angry? Because he loves so much. We get angry with our kids because we love our kids. And when they mess up, it grieves us. And you get mad. It's not only because of your honor that's at stake, but it's also because of the potential damage that's going to be caused through their wrong choice, because they decided to go their way and not listen to your way when you know better. God knows what's best. God offers a way of escape through his Son, through the blood of Jesus. Amen. He forgives us. He gives us a brand new heart. He puts his Spirit within us. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but what? According to the Spirit. John 3:17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Do you know what condemnation does? Condemnation points to your deeds. Conviction points to the Savior. When the Holy Spirit is convicting you, he always points you to Jesus for the solution. Amen? When you mess up, the devil will accuse you and he'll bring condemnation and he'll point to your deeds and he'll rub your deeds in your face and he'll try to get you to fall away from God. But when the Holy Spirit convicts us, it always causes us to turn to the Savior for mercy. Are you hearing me? That's the difference between condemnation and conviction of the Holy Spirit. Condemnation draws you away from God, but conviction draws you to God. You know when the devil's condemning you and he's pointing the finger at you, because it'll cause you to want to wiggle away or hide under the chair. It'll make you want to drop out of fellowship. Are you hearing me? Because he's condemning. But the Holy Spirit convicts with the intent of bringing healing. Restoration. He points us always to Jesus, who is the answer. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How do we overcome? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What testimony are we talking about? It's the testimony of Jesus. How do you overcome the devil? By the blood of Jesus, amen, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the blood that is applied that not only forgives but covers, and then the word of our testimony. When you hear the lie, you speak the truth. When the devil condemns, you claim, amen, the merits of Calvary. You say, but God said, there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. If the devil can get us to focus on our deeds, then what happens is our wrong deeds will magnify and become bigger in our eyes. And we become slaves to performance. Are you hearing me? Of doing enough and doing good enough and being a do-gooder. And you're never knowing quite how good is good enough. Am I right or am I not? God wants us to have peace with Him. God paid the highest price that we could have peace with Him, that we could be forgiven, that we could be restored, that we could be a child of His, a citizen of heaven, that we could have an abundant life, a life that is full, a life that is full of Jesus, full of His blessing. That's what God came to give us. He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save. Aren't you glad? Don't allow yourself to become your own judge, because we will judge faulty. Let the Holy Spirit show us what is true. And once you know what is true, you're responsible to say yes. Father God, thank You for Your word today. God, I thank You that You don't love us less when we fail. But it is the truth that sets us free. Father, You simply want us to learn from our mistakes. You want us to grow up, to know Your ways, and to walk in Your ways. Because Your way is the way everlasting. And You have only good in store for us. God, deliver us from condemnation and lead us in the truth. Your word is truth. What You say is what is true. We believe what You say, God. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. If I am in Christ today, I am a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I don't even judge myself, because I leave all judgment up to God. He is the righteous judge. It is a small thing that a man would point a finger at me and judge me. But I will allow God to do so now. If you're here today, you need to understand and heed the word of God. God is saying, let me show you where you're at right now. Would you bow your heads and just pray and ask God, Lord, how is it between You and I right now? God, am I deceiving myself? Have I been a recipient of Your grace, or am I going by the grace I've given myself? Truly, are my sins forgiven? I'm convinced that there are many people who believe that they're saved and they are not. And I'm not the judge of that, but the Word of God is. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. There is a change that takes place in you. You begin to desire what He desires and hate what He hates when you're born of His Spirit. There'll be a change. Right where you're at, you can say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I ask You to come into my heart. I ask You to forgive me and save me and make me a new creation. Lord, lead me in the truth. I want to know what is true. I want You to judge me, God. And listen, God has judged sin already at the cross. The sin problem has already been dealt with. I want you to simply receive today God's forgiveness. Say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to go one more step further here. Jesus said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you yours. If you're here today and there's someone that you have not forgiven, then you need to do that right now. And you need to ask God to give you the grace to do so. And in your heart, you need to make the decision that I'm going to release this person. I don't care what it was, how bad it was. All of us are responsible for the death of Christ. It was because of our sins that that was necessary. So God is saying, you forgive others their trespasses. And then you can pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If there's someone that you haven't forgiven today, I want you just to speak to that person right now and say, I forgive you. I choose to let you go. Not because they deserve it, but because it's the right thing. Forgive them. Let them go. In Jesus' name. And then I want you to say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. I receive your forgiveness. Hallelujah. Maybe there's several people right now, you just need to let them go. Maybe you're holding a grudge against a brother or sister or someone. You need to let them go. You need to settle this right now and say, God, I'm willing to let it go. I ask you for grace right now to forgive this person. Just let them go. Speak to that person, says, and tell them, I let you go. You owe me nothing. The debt is canceled in Jesus' name. You are forgiven. Go free. And as you release these people, you will be released from your bondage. Hear me today. Some of you are struggling with this, say, oh, but you don't know what they did. Maybe you don't realize what we did to Jesus. And how God said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are you willing to join Jesus in the same agreement and say, Father, forgive these people? If they really knew what they were doing, they wouldn't have done it. But we are poor judges of ourselves, and our hearts are desperately wicked, incurably sick. So, Lord, we just let them go. We forgive them. I release you. And I refuse to pick it up again. It's gone. In Jesus' name, you're forgiven. Just do it right where you're at. You're going to feel, some of you already, I know you're just feeling that come right off. You're feeling that load lift off you. There's a freedom coming right now.